we laugh, feel our smile with you. We lift our voices louder still. Can you hear us? Can you feel? We love you, love you, we love you, we love you. We love you, Lord, we love you, we love you. We sing loud, hear our songs to you. We laugh it loud, feel our smile on you. We lift our voices louder still. Can you hear us? Can you feel? We love you, Lord. We love you, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, we love you. Seated. Kids, it's time to go to children's church. Where's the music? They can't move until they hear the music. Very good.
Good morning, church family. Good to see you. Man, it's great to celebrate, is it not? Good day. Happy day night, daylight savings time, by the way. I guess got an extra hour of sleep last night. So if you want to register your attendance with us, you can do that sometime today. I noticed some people have done that earlier this morning. And for you and your homes, God bless you. And pray blessings on your day as you worship the Lord there. Yesterday was really a fun day. I don't know how many people we had, how many kids we had. We tried to estimate how many pieces of candy we may have passed out. And seriously, 25,000 pieces is a conservative estimate. Made several trips to Sam's and back trying to get candy to make sure everybody had candy, and it was really a good day. I think we've got a condensed video of yesterday. So, Lee, can you pull that up and show that? Thank you, everybody who was able to, thank you, yes, who was able to donate, able to serve, able to use your vehicle, and for those that attended. And, you know, I was thinking about yesterday, and I'm just going to be honest, I can do without that, personally. Jim's with me. I just kind of take one for the team and stuff like that comes up. But you know, I think people were looking for something to do. They've been cooped up in their homes, or they don't really want to go anywhere. And I saw so much joy on people's faces yesterday. And if we can serve our community and give them a two-hour window just to go have fun and not worry about anything, it was well worth it. So it was a good day. Thank you so much for your participation in that. Next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall, Jeff Hatcher will be conducting a discovery class. If you're new to our church and want more information about our ministries, you can meet him in the Fellowship Hall next week at 9 a.m. And you can continue to collect your shoeboxes and help with our collection week on the 16th through the 23rd, and also participate in our trip to the processing center on the 12th. So there's lots of information out there to get plugged in there as well. So this morning, oh, okay, Brent reminded me. Brent and I are not wearing the same shirt, by the way, even though it looks like we are. Brent wanted me to remind you, if you took pictures of the event yesterday, send them to him, email them to him. He'd like to do a collage or a better photo opportunity, video opportunity, and put that on our website. So please do that. This morning, I feel like we need to pray again for our election this Tuesday. And I don't have any comments to make other than we need Jesus to move and be big this Tuesday in a lot of ways and beyond this Tuesday. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if you want to come to the altar and pray as I pray, feel free to do that. Just go ahead and pour your heart out to the Lord. Whatever's on your heart about our culture, about these times, about the election and beyond, just pour that out to the Lord. Just give that up to Him. Yield that up to Him. Father, this morning we commit our hearts to you. We commit our worries to you, Lord. We commit our anxieties to you. We commit our frustrations to you. And Father, we ask that you become Lord of our emotions. Oh, Father, we do trust you. Lord God, there's so much stuff going on. So many things to distract us. So many things to drag us down. And so, Lord, I just pray that you show up, God, in a powerful and an awesome way. And just set us free from the things, God, that you saved us from being through Christ our Lord. Father, I pray for this process on Tuesday. I pray, God, that it's a fair process. Lord, I pray against foreign interference. Lord, I pray against what the enemy is trying to do to divide and disrupt. He's already laying plans, God, to make this process chaotic. So, Lord, I just pray for a sovereign move of your hand and pray that you protect this process. Lord, for those who haven't voted, God, I pray that you stir hearts, whether they know you or don't know you. I just pray that you stir hearts. And, Father, that they just see a need, God, to do what's right and fair. And I pray that righteousness rule the day on Tuesday as people vote. Father, I pray against the rioting, the looting, that whoever wins the election, that those who are plotting to do that, God, I just pray against those schemes as well. And Lord, I just pray that you heal our land, heal our country. Oh, Father, we need you desperately. God, I pray, Father, for healing for those who are struggling with the virus, Lord. And God, with just a glance from the throne, Lord, you could obliterate this illness, this plague. And Father, I don't know what you're up to, God. You're allowing it to continue, Lord. Have your way, and Lord, just complete that purpose. But at the same time, God, we just pray for relief. We pray against fear in that area. Lord, I just ask, God, that supernaturally that the schools can remain open. The kids continue to learn. They continue to keep up. And Lord, those who are staying home, God, I just pray for just an incredible connection with what's going on in the classroom. Bless our teachers, Lord. Give them strength. Let's protect our schools, God. Oh, Father, we love you. We praise you, God. We adore you. And Lord, I take comfort in the reality that you're not up for re-election this Tuesday. You will still be on the throne Wednesday morning. That will never change. God, help us to latch hold of that reality. We love you and adore you. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Your grace forever.
turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside, the sound of angels, of the sound of angels, oh, and all this for a key. We could join and sing all to Christ the King. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. He is holy. He is holy. Turn your gaze to heaven. Raise the joyous sounds, the sound of salvation come, the sound of rescue wants, and all this for a king. Angels join to sing.
seated.
Good morning again. Is the Holy Spirit welcome here? Amen, amen. Yes, He is. Glad that you are spending your Sunday morning worshiping with us, also for our live stream audience. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. I would love to meet you and get to know you. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer down at this end and would love to meet you and have a gift for you as well. So I would invite you to come and join me there. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We got a yee-haw for Romans. Yeah. All right. I know this. Our group Sunday school class, y'all are going through Romans. Kitten, I think this is your... Where's Kitten? Sitting around here somewhere. She is, I think, the current teacher going through Romans. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I want to say that again. That's worth saying again, isn't it? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or coronavirus or racial strife or economic struggles? That's not in there, but I think today it would be if Paul wrote this today. Verse 37. No, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, he says, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. That's pretty exclusive, isn't it? Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. We are humbled, God, by your love. I don't know about anybody else, but I feel totally insufficient and inadequate to receive that kind of love from you. But through Christ, we have that kind of love. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask you now to speak to us. Speak in power and authority. Change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Scripture tells us in Psalms 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Back in biblical times, if you were an army with horses and chariots, you ruled the day. And you pretty much had no fear of anything else. We place our faith in all sorts of things. I was reminded as I was thinking about this particular message, I was reminded of the Titanic. We know the story of the Titanic. There's a picture of it as it was sailing out on its maiden voyage. Just a little bit of history, and most of y'all know a lot of this, but the Titanic took 2 years to build. It was completed in 1912. It cost $7.5 million in 1912. And that's equivalent to over $200 million today. It was 880 feet long, 82 feet long, more than four city blocks. Think about that. Four city blocks long. 92 feet high, over nine stories, weighed 46,000 tons. Now, I did a little calculating, because that tons, we don't think too much in tons. That's 92 million pounds. That's how much it weighed. It was considered unsinkable. Some of the richest people in the world were on this maiden voyage because it was a lot of prestige to be traveling on this luxurious ship that was considered unsinkable. And we know that she indeed did sink on April the 15th, 1912, claiming over 1,500 lives. Did you know that people, that whether they knew it or not, they placed their trust in this magnificent ship, and she went down to the bottom of the Atlantic? Some trust in chariots, some in horses. What do we trust in? Yes, we like to say the Lord, right? But whenever we worry, when we're anxious, when we're afraid, when fear begins to take over, perhaps we're not quite trusting like we think, maybe. We're continuing the sermon series today, Identity. Identity. And today's message is, you are secure in Christ. You are secure in Christ. So I'm going to jump right in. We're going to unpack this scripture a little bit today and look at some ways that we find security in Christ. The first thing, in Christ. Now, each week I'm saying this, that if you don't have Christ, then none of this applies. Okay? I think that's important for us to hear. If we don't have faith in Christ, then nothing that I guess you can go ahead and get your nap early, because none of this applies. I hope that we all have Christ. But in Christ, you and I don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of whatever comes. We don't have to be afraid. In this passage today, right before I picked it up, in verse 28 it says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." Now, that doesn't mean that everything in this life is going to be easy or pleasant. But we know that God is at work, even just like this pandemic. I mean, it's like nobody's really, I don't think, enjoying the stuff that we're going through. But God is at work. I'm telling you, God is at work in the midst of it all. And He is at work for the good of those who love Him. 2 Timothy, Paul says this, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Hebrews says it, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So, because Christ is seated on the throne, because, you know, in Hebrews is talking a lot about Jesus is now our high priest. When He died on the cross, the curtain, the veil to the Holy of Holies was torn, which is where only the high priest could go back into the Holy of Holies behind this curtain. The veil was torn, and now you and I have access to the throne of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now we can approach the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. We don't have to be afraid, church, of whatever the future holds. Whatever happens on Tuesday night, guess what? God, as Billy said earlier, God's still on the throne. We don't have to be afraid. Whatever happens in the future with this virus, we don't have to be afraid. 1 John 4 says it this way, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you," who's in us? God, through His Holy Spirit, resides in us. "The one who is in us is greater than the one who's in the world." Who's He speaking of in the world? Satan, the devil. And he's doing his stuff, but we have the creator of all of everything living inside of us, and scripture is telling us that we have someone greater inside of us than the one who is doing all of this manipulating out here in the world. We don't have to fear anything. In Christ, church, we don't have to be afraid. Secondly, in Christ, you are free from condemnation. This, again, in chapter 8 of Romans. "Therefore," he's speaking of, now, right, what do you do when you see "therefore"? You go back and read before that so you can see what it's there for. Therefore, and he'd just been talking about this struggle that we have between the flesh and the spirit and how ultimately the spirit wins out through our faith in Christ. Therefore, since we now have overcome the flesh through the spirit, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There it is again. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. So you see, outside of Christ, we are still victims to sin and death, that curse of sin and death. And through the Spirit, through faith in Christ, we now have been set free. There is now no condemnation for us in Christ. This is important, church. This is important because we sometimes, we are our own worst enemy. Yes? Sometimes the enemy, he likes to attack us right up here. He likes to tell us things like, you're worthless, you're no good, you can't, you know, nobody likes you, you're this, you're that. And he is the great accuser of the brethren. He is the father of lies and he likes to accuse us. But we have been set free by the Spirit of life through Christ, and there is now no condemnation for those in Christ. So we can set those things aside. In the name of Jesus, I reject those thoughts that the enemy would come against me with those thoughts of somehow I don't measure up. But through Christ, there is no condemnation. Shake your head if you're listening to me, if you hear what I'm saying. Are we understanding this? It's easy to say intellectually, but do we walk it out? Do we walk it out as free, uncondemned men and women of Christ? In Christ, you are free from condemnation. And then finally, in Christ, you cannot, I love this, you cannot be separated from the love of God. That's again, significant for us to understand that there's nothing that will separate us from the love of God. This passage we just read, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now listen, he makes quite an extensive list before he sums it all up. Trouble, hardship. Anybody ever had trouble or hardship? That doesn't separate you from the love of Christ. Persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword. None of those things separate us from Christ, the love of Christ. No, he says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am convinced that, and here he sums it up, nothing in all creation, nothing, no who or what, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You know, it's a simple, the gospel is really a simple message. It really is. You ever want to just share the gospel with someone? You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to do any of those things. The gospel message is simple. We're a broken, needy people. Sin has separated us from God. And through Christ, we have been restored. Now listen, his love for us was demonstrated for Christ on the cross, for us by Christ on the cross. Listen to this out of Romans 8. This is again right before this passage we read today. If God is for us, and guess what? In Christ, God is for you. Did you know that? If God is for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter if your neighbor likes you. Yeah, I don't know. On a side note, that's weird, isn't it? Neighbors these days. And we get new neighbors in and we try to be hospitable and take them cookies and meet them and all that stuff. And then they hide in their house and don't ever, you drive right by them into your driveway and you wave at them and they're just like, it really doesn't matter if they like us. Maybe I should quit making the cookies, Cheryl. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you should make them next time. But it doesn't matter if our neighbors like, it doesn't matter if anybody likes us because Christ loves you. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. And that is the gospel. We aren't deserving of it, but Christ hung on a cross for us. Did you know that? He had you on his mind when he took the nails. And that was, it was not a pleasant experience. We tend to equate love with warm fuzzies, right? You know, and that's the way our culture defines love. You know, all your gaze across the room and your eyes meet with someone and, you know, you just fall head over heels in love. And it's like, no, that's really not how it works. Sometimes love is sacrificial. Sometimes love hurts. In the case of Christ, love nailed him to a cross because he loved his bride. And we celebrate every time we partake of this meal. Somehow, Christ said, when you partake of this meal, he said, to remember me. And what he was saying was, remember how much I love you. Remember that this meal can't see it very well in these trays, but this is the body of Christ broken for us. And this is symbolic of the very body of Christ that was broken for us as he laid it down, as he sacrificially laid it down on the cross. And this, he said, is the blood of the new covenant. And he blessed it and he said, when you drink this, it's symbolic of the blood that I will shed on your behalf. And he said, as you drink and as you eat, remember me. If God is for us, this meal is a remembrance, a demonstration that God is indeed for us. Who can be against us? We can be secure in Christ. He did not spare his own son. So it was so, it'd been so easy for God to go, to find another way. But no, he sent Jesus and he gave him up for us all. And that proves God's love toward us. This meal is once and for all proof how God feels about us. And we can be secure in that. Do you understand? We can be secure in that. No matter what the world throws at us, no matter what happens today or tomorrow, we can be secure in that. We come to this table. We don't come as a perfect people. We come as a redeemed people. Redeemed. Someone who the price has been paid. It wasn't Christ's sin that was nailed to the cross. It was yours and mine that was nailed to the cross. So we come as a redeemed people. The first step to coming to this meal is a confession that we are unworthy, that we are sinners redeemed by God's grace. So if you would just bow your heads with me and just pray your own personal, private prayer of confession before our holy and loving God. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for this body and this blood, this bread and this juice that's symbolic of your sacrificial death for us. We celebrate that nothing in creation can separate us from your love that's in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, church, you are forgiven. Amen. I invite the servers, and if y'all will please wear your masks, the servers and the praise team and the sound team to come and be served. Christ our Lord invites us to this table. You don't have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If you have professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome to come and be served. It's also okay if you do not want to partake this morning. We hope you feel welcome to do that, but you don't have to be served. There's four stations. You will be, there's bread, a cup with bread in it. You can partake in that manner. And there's also a cup with the juice. You can partake in that. And then there's a discharge basket beside each person. We're invited by Christ to come. convinced, are you convinced that nothing, I'll say that again, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? We have good news to share, church. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.